And welcome, everybody. This is Mike Rayford, and you're listening to The Good Life. How are you guys doing today? Another amazing... Hang on a second. There we go. Got my vols up. Great to be here today. As you can tell, as usual, I'm always running a little behind and just running into the studio here. Nice drive down through the Sierra foothills today. Gorgeous day in this part of California. We're broadcasting The Good Life Show every Saturday from 2 to 4 from the Sierra Cellars studios here. And welcome to the show. If you're not familiar with the show, this is where we talk about food, wine, travel, and lifestyle, and a whole bunch of other stuff joining in as well. You know, there's a little underlying theme, and I always bring this up about, I guess, I don't know, some people don't like the word entrepreneur, entrepreneurism, but for me, that's just someone who's decided to, you know, take the world on their own terms and sort of create a living out of it and make some money and take care of themselves that way. And a lot of folks are doing that very successfully, and others are on the journey. But the cool thing about what our guests are all about typically is you'll have some folks that, you know, they might have started out as one thing. I've had folks on here as guests that were, you know, doctors, or they were attorneys, or they were some corporate gig. But they always wanted to do, you know, fill in the blank, ride a bicycle across Europe or kayak across the, you know, Atlantic Ocean or whatever it is. And whatever the circumstances that evolved were put them in a position to where they had a decision to make. Should I carry on with my life as is, or should I pursue my true goals and, you know, my passion and do what I think I was put here to do? So when you do that, it's interesting what happens, because it kind of snaps and flips into this other dimension of stuff that really supports that. I think without getting too metaphysical, really that's what we're all here to do, is discover what we're supposed to be doing. And many of us are doing stuff, and me included, and it's not always what I love to do. But when the passion is there, you'll find a way to make it all happen. Well, welcome to the show. One other little note for those of you who listen online at MikeTheWineGuy.com or TuneIn.com or many, many other internet sites, welcome. And the show is also available on podcast afterwards if you want to listen to it at your leisure. And many people do that. That can be found under the Good Life tab on MikeTheWineGuy.com. So, moving forward, what's been going on? Well, you know, out here in California, we're right in the middle of, we're in the appears to be a pretty busy, busy time of harvest for a lot of the wineries and the grape growers and the vineyards around here. So, in this part of the country, the lower elevations have already started picking. Some of the higher elevations were a week or two away. Many, many really terrific varietals are coming online over the last few years, and California has sort of expanded their palette, if you will, to, I mean, I think we used to always be known for the standards, and I think actually the whole world really has been into the standards for a long time. You know, Cab, Merlot, Zinfandel, you know, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Grigio, with some others obviously in there. But now we're having all these different grapes that are local, that are grown here. Malbec is one. We'll be talking about that a little bit further in the show. Of course, Primitivo, which is the, I call it the mother grape of Zinfandel. It originally came over from Croatia. It does really, really well in California, Primitivo, as well as the Zin. But there's just so many more. There's just a ton more. So there's all kinds of diversity going on, and wineries are popping up all over the place. So if you have a chance, get out there and cruise around, do a little wine tasting. Need any guidance, always go check out the blog, MikeTheWineGuy.com. There's a few resources on there as well. So, moving right along, we've got a pretty stacked show today. We're going to start off with a guy that I've recently been introduced to, Michael Higgins. He's an author and a photographer. He's got one of these backgrounds, kind of like what I was talking about earlier, somebody that started off doing something else. He's a PhD. We'll find out about that later on. But he sent me his book to it's an advanced copy, so I feel really lucky to have that. It's called Exploring Wine Regions, and it's all about Argentina. It's a big coffee table type book, but it is so packed with great information. And, you know, I've not been to Argentina yet. That is one of my plans to go. They make terrific wines, and there's a number of regions there. So I want to dig right into it with him. Welcome to the show, Michael Higgins. How are you today?
I am great, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So I understand you're down in SoCal today.
I am. I live in Pasadena.
Oh, great. Well, I like Southern California, too. Isn't it interesting? You've traveled to Northern California, I assume.
Oh, so many times.
Isn't it almost
beautiful there, too?
Yeah, isn't it almost like, I mean, I love both Northern and Southern California, but aren't they almost like two different states?
Yeah, I think California's a country, isn't it?
Well, I guess you could say that. There sure is a lot of things going on, from beaches to mountains, deserts to redwoods. So, yeah. Well, listen, welcome to the show. I'm really stoked. Your book isn't even quite out yet. I think October is when it comes out, and people can obviously get it on Amazon. But, you know, this goes way beyond just sort of telling us about grapes and wine stories. This really goes deep into the regions, and it's kind of like almost a travel guide or something to help us, you know, figure out what's going on in Argentina and where we ought to go and what's unique about each place. Tell us a little bit about what your motivation was to start this book.
Well, the motivation was to figure out why I had never met a Malbec I didn't like. Going to restaurant after restaurant, ordering a Malbec, every one of them was great, and I wondered why. And I had lots of theories, but I figured the way to get the answer was to go there. And I did, and my first trip was for 5 weeks. And my first 5 week was in Mendoza. Mm-hmm. That's where I pursued Malbec after Malbec after Malbec.
So you were on a quest, in other words.
I was. And in this quest, what I thought I really should do is to find the people who were at the forefront of Malbec in Argentina. And that's what led me to amazing things in Mendoza.
Mm-hmm. And as your book points out, I honestly have to admit, I was not, I mean, you look at a map or, you know, like an atlas or something, a world map, and you see South America and, you know, and you see America and you just think, it's a big place. You know, you forget that Brazil is so huge. And then you go down to Argentina and you look at it and it's like, wow, that is actually a pretty big country.
It's gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've got the Salta wine region up to the north and, you know, the Rio Negro and the Mendoza region. I mean, that must have been – how did you get around? Were you flying around? Were you driving around? What's the travel conditions like over there?
Well, the wine regions run along the Andes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the western part of Argentina, and it would be the eastern edge of the Andes Mountains. So getting to Mendoza is relatively easy. You can get there through Buenos Aires or through Santiago, Chile. And then to get to those two other wine regions that you talked about that I went to, getting to Salta, you need to go through Buenos Aires to fly over to Salta.
Mm-hmm.
Salta is in the very north west corner of Argentina, very high elevation wine growing area. And then in the south, here again, you need to go from the Buenos Aires to Patagonia, which would be Neuquén, N-E-U-Q-U-E-N is mm-hmm. how you spell that. And that's where you would go to get into the Patagonia wine regions. You could drive. There is the longest highway in Argentina runs that whole length of the Andes Mountains, and it goes through all the wine regions. But it's a long ways. I didn't drive it, but I think like to get from Mendoza to Salta could be 15-20 hour drive.
Yeah.
It's not exactly close.
Yeah. No, it looks huge. It looks like going halfway across the United States, only up and down versus sideways. So yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, looking at where Salta is, too, and we'll dig into some other stuff, but I got my curiosity going here. I know that, you know, equatorial and semi-equatorial regions are certainly not conducive to growing wine, but you mentioned that it was high altitude because they look like they're creeping up on fairly close, you know, what they've got to be, what's their latitude, like 19, 20, 18, something like that? It's getting in that sort of tropical zone.
Well, and what's really amazing is that the vineyards are typically in the 5,500 to 6,500 foot elevation.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's higher than Denver.
Yeah, well, that's like up at Donner Pass or something like that.
Exactly, and it's really beautiful. It's beautiful in a way that you've never seen before because you feel like you're on another planet. It's just an amazing place to be. And what I told you about on the 55 to 65 are the low elevation of those high elevation vineyards. There are places that are like 7,500 feet where there's quite a few wineries up there growing. And then there's actually one place that they're growing grapes over 10,000 feet.
Hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
And those are the highest in the world. And I have a picture in the book of the grapevine that is the highest grapevine in the world, and it's a Pinot Noir.
Wow. Wow. Now, did you get to taste the Pinot from there?
No, it's not ready yet. Those vines are, you know, they're struggling, as you think of how, you know, the struggle for crops, right? They're really at high elevation. So maybe, let me think here. So that's about 10. So maybe just down the hill, like at 9,000, I was tasting Malbecs growing at 9,000. And these were their first wines. This is the Colomé winery. And I was just tasting them out of bottles that had pieces of tape on it, writing what was on them. And they're really extraordinary. Very unique style of wine. And all of the wines up in that area are unique because of the elevation.
Well, that's where I wanted to go next, is I know that, you know, by the sound of it, for folks that don't know, a lot of when I think of Argentina wines or even Chilean wines, cabs, but primarily the Argentine wines, I think of them as sort of what I call old world style or European style, because those people kind of came over from Europe, you know, centuries ago. And I don't know exactly how long some of these vineyards, but wine is certainly not new to Argentina. It's been around for a while. But what are some of the varietals other than, say, Malbec that you came to know while you were there?
Well, while they have been growing wine grapes for a long time, it's been mostly volume wine, and it has been in the last 10-20 years that they have really changed their entire perspective on winemaking, and now it's focused on quality. And since we're talking about Salta and you're asking about grapes, there's a grape in Salta called Torrontés, and it's a white wine. It's nicknamed the liar, and the reason it's the liar is because when you pick up your glass and you smell the bouquet, you have this fresh bouquet of flowers and very ripe, like peaches. It's a sweetness that you're going to expect to have on your mouth, and then when you taste it, it's as dry as can be, and even sort of grapefruit tartness, and it's a spectacular wine. I mean, I'm not a big white wine drinker as I am a red wine drinker, but the Torrontés is a great wine, and this is Argentina's grape. The rest of the grapes came from other parts of the world, but the Torrontés is their grape. It grows in the Salta region, and it's grown in a canopy style, because if you think about the high elevation, you've got the sun, very intense, so they protect it that way. And then down in Mendoza, which is of course, Malbec country, is Cabernet Sauvignon, very good Cabernet Sauvignon. They have a grape down there called Bernarda.
Bernarda's
a big, red, delicious grape.
That's another one that I was mentioning earlier in the intro, that California is starting to grow. There's some Bernarda coming around. It's just so interesting to introduce people to something that they've never heard of, and then they go, wow, that's really good. It's like, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's really good out there.
Oh, yes. And then going south to Patagonia, remember, it's cooler down there, right? So think of the grapes that like to grow in cool weather, like Pinot Noir. That's a magical place for it.
And Riesling.
Oh, yes.
Well, listen,
and
Michael, we got to
growing Malbec down there, too, because, you know, Malbec, that's what's made Argentina famous, is Malbec. I mean, they've done with Malbec that the French never did.
Right, and that's
made
what
them famous.
Exactly. I want to get back into that further when we come back. We're going to take a short break right now. We're talking with Michael Higgins. He is the author of a new book that's yet to come out. It'll be out just in a couple of weeks. It's called Exploring Wine Regions of Argentina with Michael Higgins. You're listening to The Good Life. Stick around. We've got a whole lot more to come. We'll be right back.
LB LBK Optical is Yuba Sutter's best full-service optical laboratory.
LBK Optical has been building their reputation on word of mouth and helping people see and smile for over 40 years. Whether you're looking for the latest in designer frames, custom sunglasses, or would like a free consultation and fitting,
stop by LBK Optical at 551 Yolo Street near Bridge and 2nd Street in Yuba City, or call 751-8525.
That's LBK Optical Laboratory.
I had to do a little vacation math. Like an awesome beach plus an insane water park equals pure happiness. And 20 restaurants times an unbeatable nightlife equals, oh yeah. And most awarded plus luxury suites equals, what? And all included times all unlimited equals infinite possibilities. It all adds up to the number one all-inclusive family resorts. Call 1-800-BEACHES and save up to 65%.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Mike Rayford, and you are listening to The Good Life Show. We're here every Saturday from 2 to 4 if you're in the Pacific time zone. But we're on all the time everywhere because of the internet. The internet is very cool in that regard because it gives us access to so many things, including MikeTheWineGuy.com and all the archive shows that you can find on there from all of our amazing guests, one of which we have right now live with us on the phone, Michael Higgins, calling from L.A., just finished a book called Exploring Wine Regions of Argentina. Fascinating book, fascinating guy. By the way, you know, you're quite the international wine adventurer, Michael. Besides Argentina, give us a little hint of maybe some of the previous travels and how long you've been doing something like this.
Wow, I'm in love with wine and travel. It's the magic for me. So I spent 20 years publishing a travel magazine, Flying Adventures, and of those readers, 850,000 people are food and wine lovers and wanting to travel to destinations of wine. And so that's what I've spent 20 years doing. And living in California has me quite extensively up and down the California wine regions. In fact, that will be the next book, will be California.
Very good. Well, looking forward to that. So I understand that you explored like 58 while you were there. You were there for, I guess, what, 13 weeks or so. That must have been on the second trip because you mentioned 5 weeks on the first one. But you explored 58 high-end wineries, which kind of that's good because that there's a lot of wineries, and high-end really puts you and gives you the idea that, you know, these aren't just guys that have a barn out in the back where they put some barrels of grapes together. You consulted 107 winemakers, of which there are some world-renowned ones in that area, and tasted, I think it's 583 bottles. How did you even keep count?
Well, that's a good question. After 583, I'm not sure you know how many anymore.
Exactly.
I made three trips to Argentina, mm-hmm. and I did them 3 years in a row, all at harvest time.
Oh,
so
good.
I did 5 weeks the first time, 5 weeks the second time, and then 3 weeks the third time. And on that third week, or that third trip of 3 weeks, one of those weeks was in Buenos Aires, and I worked with a sommelier, and he took me around to the top chefs of Buenos Aires, and we did food and wine pairing extraordinaire. It's a great chapter in the book. And then after I finished that, I went to Patagonia, so I spent 2 weeks down in Patagonia wine region.
Wow. I mean, I'm sitting here thumbing through the book, and it's just fantastic. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of 150-year-old Malbec vines that look like a small forest almost.
Isn't it amazing?
It truly is amazing. I mean, these guys have been making Malbec for a long time, but as you said, what was it just considered to be just commodity wine, like just, you know, traditional jug wine for the region?
Exactly.
Well, somebody, some smart person went and discovered it and brought it over here. It sounds a little bit like the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc story. They were so small at one time that they weren't exporting anything. And I guess enough tourists went over there and brought a few things back where now it's blown up. But, I mean, now you can't go anywhere in the United States, especially at least in California, and not find a bunch of Malbec on the shelves. And it's usually a bargain, like $10. You get an amazing Malbec from Mendoza.
It is amazing. And if you're in Mendoza, it's even less.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific.
Well, and you know, when you're talking about those wines and those winemakers and those sommeliers and all the people I met, I put all of that in the book. So people listening and are thinking about this book, I had an extraordinary 13 weeks. But people can go do the same thing. Because you were asking me in the beginning how to get around.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how to get around. I got lots of maps. I give you the wineries, the winemakers, phone numbers, email addresses, everything so that you can really go and have just as an amazing experience as I did.
And, you know, the photographs just they're so compelling. I mean, I just, like, I'm looking right now at one. I would love to go down there and do this. Canopy del Lago at the Valle Grande, which is the big zip line that you're 230 feet above the lake on zip lines. Now, did you, when was the first time you ziplined, or did you dare do it?
Well, I've ziplined before, and I did do it there. And it was really very funny when I did do it there. They handed me the equipment and said, go have fun. I said, well, wait a minute here. Can't people go with me?
Yeah, isn't there some adult supervision here?
Right. You know, it's the way they do it. But of course, when you ask, they'll send people with you. And that's a pretty smart idea.
Yeah.
You don't do it all the time. But yeah, it's really amazing. And you think about it, if you fell, who cares? You're gonna land in the water.
Yeah, it's only like jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge or something, you know, 270 feet.
So, you know, you're bringing up something interesting, because it's not just about the vineyards and the wineries and the great wine, but it's about these things like the canopy and horseback riding and a lot of horseback riding through vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I can imagine. But, I mean, and you know, at the end of the day, all the spectacular photos and everything else, they can't quite convey, although I'm sure your storytelling does in the book, but the feeling that you get, the real vibe that you get from the people, because it's the people, really, huh, that make the place.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you love my photography. I mean, that's my first love of all of this, and that's why there's like 550 images in this book. And I try to capture what you're going to go see and show it in such a beautiful light. And there's lots of pictures of the people, and you're right about the people. The people are amazing. I mean, I've just fallen in love with the people and their culture and just the way they live life and the foods they eat and the lifestyle that they have. Especially when you're there for several weeks, you really get into the experience of their way of living.
Sure, and some friends have been to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, and you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to go a couple of years ago was to experience Buenos Aires and try to maybe pick up on a little bit of the what's the dance there, not the tango.
Tango. But
is it the tango? Yeah,
it is.
And so you know, but then that is just even though it's a metropolis kind of a place, I mean, getting out of town, there's this whole other country that you can go to. And looking, again, just thumbing through the book, there are wineries here with barrels, just rows and rows of beautiful new oak barrels. And you wonder, like, wow, am I looking at Napa or am I looking at, you know, France or something? But kind of makes average person, including me, wonder, like, wow, besides, I mean, what's the national... what do they do there? I mean, what's their income? How do they afford so many barrels of amazing French oak? And are they really selling that much wine? And you know, I guess they are. It looks like it's a very well-established wine industry down there.
Well, you know what's really exciting about their growth? And they have grown to become the fifth largest wine region in the world. Because of that volume is why you see so many barrels, because it's really happening. What's coming with this new wine region is some of the most spectacular architectural designs. Wow. I mean, I'm sure you see some of these in the book where mm-hmm. I photographed them. They are just, it's unbelievable. And there are a couple of architects down there that specialize in, let's just call it the spectacular. I mean, amazing, award-winning kind of design.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think you see one in there, Au Fournier, which is in the Uco Valley, and you know, at first it looks like a spaceship. It's got this structure above it, and when you get close and you look at it, it's formed like an aircraft wing,
and it's
like that because it causes the air to flow, and so that way the workers are all in the shade first of all, and it causes a breeze to go through there to keep it always nice and cool. And then it's up above, like a little spaceship sitting there. So everything is gravity moving through the winery as it goes down through the different levels. And they've really minimized pumps and any kind of mechanical movement. And yet this is a huge winery, that big two-page spread that you see with thousands of barrels It's really happening there.
Yeah, and this could be. I mean, I wonder. You're a still photographer, obviously well accomplished. Did you ever want to sort of have a camera crew with you so that you could video all this stuff and make a documentary out of it? Because it's just amazing.
I'm starting to learn video, so there will be video for the future.
But
you're right. I'm a still photographer.
Right.
And here again, you know, it's a book, so you want the still photography.
Oh, no, of course. And yeah, that one page that you've got there, which is the Au Fournier, the inside of the winery there with the red flooring and stuff and all the barrels, it looks like you've stumbled into an ancient Inca, the interior of an Inca pyramid where they used to make wine for the gods or something like
Isn't that.
Amazing? It's pretty amazing. It really is. Well,
know what else is happening there?
Sure.
And at Au Fournier as well as other places, is that they are building restaurants into the wineries.
Mm-hmm.
And they have incredible chefs. And what a great way to taste a winery's wine is to sit down for several hours in an afternoon with a beautiful view of the Andes, because the Andes are always right there, spectacular. And you're tasting foods that they've deliberately paired with their wine. So they're like showing you amazing food with amazing wines. That is just the way to live life.
No, it absolutely is. And I mean, I'm a foodie myself, and I don't often, you know, get to experience like some of the plates that you've photographed there. But it's obviously a culinary art. I would put it in that category, and I'm sure it's very, very amazing. Hey, listen, we're almost wrapping up here. We're getting to the end of our time, and it has flown by as we had predicted. We could go on for another hour or two, Michael. This has just been really great talking with you and learning about your trip. And this book is just it's just gorgeous. I can't, urge you guys enough to get out there exploring wine regions, Argentina. You can find it on Amazon and also on your website, which is, what is it?
It's exploringwineregions.com.
Right, right.
And if you get the book on the website, if you want, I can autograph it for you.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, listen, in wrapping, I got a quick question for you, and we're really going to just wind this one up. But I know you have plans for the future in other top wine regions of the world. What's the next thing on your list? Is it California?
California is next. I'm doing the top 11 wine countries of the world.
Awesome. Well, you've got the rest of your life cut out for you, don't you?
It's a tough deal, you know.
Well, Mike, thanks for being with us on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank
I know you're
you.
A busy guy. Love the book and encourage anyone who's interested in wine or travel or lifestyle or all the stuff that the Good Life Show is all about. Go grab this book. It's awesome. Michael, thanks again, and we'll put this up on the blog. And what was the website again?
So it's exploringwineregions, plural, .com. And a way people can follow me on Facebook is it's facebook.com/exploringwineregions.
Perfect. Good deal. All right. Cheers, and we'll talk to you soon down the road.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
All right, Mike.
Bye-bye.